an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and information, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Our guest today is Stuart Wilde. He is the author of 20 books on spirituality and personal development. Stuart Wilde is considered by many the greatest living metaphysician in the world. Many of the most famous New Age, New Thought writers and teachers, including Deepak Chopra, have privately studied with him, or they have been greatly influenced by his work. In the 1980s, Wilde correctly described the etheric life field around humans in precise details. Previously, it was known only in vague terms in discussions about the human aura. Wilde wrote out the first of many and verifiable etheric exercises and sensations in his book, The Quickening, on Hay House in 1995. And over the last 10 years, he has published hundreds of his visions, many of which have now come to pass. You can, of course, learn about Stuart at our website, lifechangeswithfilippo.com, or you can go directly to his website at stuartwilde.com. That's spelled Stuart, StuartWilde.com. But in the meantime, we have the pleasure of having him with us, direct from Ireland at the moment. Welcome, Mr. Wilde, to the show.
Thank you very much. It's very kind of you to invite me on.
It's a pleasure, after all of these years of learning about your work and reading and studying and learning about life and how things work, to finally be able to speak to you. And did you hear? I know you heard my introduction. Where is the Italian part? Where did I think that?
My mother was Italian. She was born in Venice. And her family, her father was from Sicily, and so she was raised in Sicily. So they were kind of Venetian Sicilians, and that's how I became half Italian.
Okay, well, both my parents are from Sicily, so when I heard that, I resonated immediately.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And later on, if we want to, I could even speak to you in Sicilian, but in the meantime, it's 2012, for those who are listening to this in January 2nd, and it's very exciting. And I know for you, as well as many of us, 2012 is a great promise year. And what could you say about it for us?
Well, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that when there's a great amount of darkness, there's a sort of equal amount of light. And so when you watch all of these fears and the fascist state and the New World Order and all of this totally creepy stuff, it allows the light to shine even more. In fact, I think many people will never reach their peak until there is true darkness all around us. And that's when they reach a heroism inside themselves and they connect into these celestial worlds and the celestial dimensions and they become more and more and more. And so I think that 2012 bodes well, even though it may be chaotic in the financial markets and things probably will happen and earthquakes and so forth. But all in all, I'm very excited about 2012.
Now, Stuart, we get emails and we see things on the news and people talk about stuff that is happening behind the scenes that is, like you said, one would consider part of the darkness. And what are you suggesting we do? Do we ignore that? Do we say, okay, I see it, but I'm going to focus my energy here? What do we do with that information?
You can't ignore it necessarily because, for example, if they pass a fascist legislation saying that the authorities can pick you up without trial and hold you indefinitely, you've got to watch that. But if you focus in the light and you focus in love and you focus in the creative evolution of your spirit, then you can allow these things to come and go. I don't think that you should sort of try to burn down City Hall or bash up the police or threaten them in any way, but I mean, mostly you just drop below the radar and continue to live your life, you know, as you know how to live it, in beauty and in softness and in a delicate sensitivity. And that allows you to stay literally in your own dimension. You don't have to be a part of the mayhem that's going on out there.
Now, with so many people struggling financially and not knowing how to make ends meet or where they're going to live from one moment to the next, it is hard for some of these people to stay focused or stay in even the light that they might have had before these kinds of things had befallen on them. What do you suggest we do to align with that, with the light there?
Well, a lot of my readers sold real estate sort of several years ago and bought gold. And gold's come back quite a bit recently from 1920 to right around 1580, 1590 it's trading today. And that's a very good long-term bet, because the more money that the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank and various governments print, the better it will be for the gold price. So short-term, people can buy gold. And it's good to have some gold, because if there's a currency crisis, you can be sure that gold will rocket upwards. The other thing I tell people to do is to try, if they can afford it, to have 6 months' worth of money out of the bank. So if, let's say, you take out $200 a week for groceries and gas and whatever, then you would try to have $5,200 in cash and stuck under the mattress, because there can come the day when the ATMs, cash machines, won't work and some of the banks may close and so forth. Nobody really knows how bad the financial crisis will be in 2012, but all we can say for definite is that the markets will be very, very volatile, and they'll be reacting to every interest rate spike and sovereign debt in Europe and so forth. So people can move like gracefully through all of that, and if they haven't bought gold, I suggest that they do buy some gold coins, that is, rather than paper gold at a bank.
Well, you know, actually,
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
I have no idea what that is. Can you hold the tape?
Sure.
Sorry, this is crazy. It could be the fire alarm or something.
Thanks, Doug.
Goodness me, I'm really sorry. Can we carry on somehow? Can you splice it or cut it, or do we have to start right from the beginning?
Yes, the engineer just told me that he can definitely splice it out. So we
okay, then just repeat what you wanted to say, Filippo. I don't know what happened there. The phone started making this really bizarre noise.
Interesting.
Yeah, really strange, yeah.
Well, we were just talking about gold and some of your recommendations there, and I remember seeing that you posted something about that on your blog on December 27th. So I wanted to let people know that in conjunction with what Stuart Wild is telling us here, they could always go to stuartwild.com, where you could read his blog and learn about in more detail some of the things that he's been sharing with us. Of course, you can also find a lot more information about some of the things that we'll be talking about in DVDs, CDs, and all that good stuff. So, which is where I first came to learn Stuart. Actually, Stuart, I wanted to at the time, but couldn't attend one of your big week's adventure at something. Do you still do those?
No, I don't do those anymore. They were called Warrior's Wisdom, and I ended those sort of like a while ago. And have just moved on to other things. I do sometimes do gigs in Las Vegas and in Amsterdam, and they're like a sort of Friday night to Sunday afternoon gigs that are just in a hotel room. And they've turned out to be very successful. But generally speaking, I just teach for free on the internet. And so people can follow the teachings as easy as anything without having to pay any money. And I think that's fair and reasonable in this sort of economic climate.
Wow.
And like my site has more than 500 articles, maybe 600 articles. So if a person wanted to go on there and study the stuff, they could get it pretty much for free. And then the books, of course, they have to pay because they're published by Hay House, and they've got to get their money, and it's fair and reasonable.
Right. Well, ironically, I am in a hotel in Las Vegas right now as we speak, and you're in a hotel in Ireland.
That's right, yes.
Here we are. There's before we go on to some of these things that people can learn about their sixth sense and those kinds of things. Can we talk a little bit more about 2012, because you've had visions about it and you've been talking about it for many years now, and most of the media, of course, has gone against some of what you've said because they're more into the fear base. When you've talked about things that could happen, but things that we want to focus on, and we just touched on it a little bit. What else can we say before we move on to another topic about 2012?
Well, I don't believe the world will end in December 23rd, 2012. And no disrespect to the Mayans, but they didn't predict their own demise. You know, they kind of got rubbed out between 700 AD and 800 AD. Mm. And so I sort of feel like predicting the world's demise is very unlikely. And the fact that their calendar ends on that particular date means that the new calendar, if they're around, would begin the next day. So there isn't really anything to support the idea that the world will end. However, with the economic climate and the economic crisis that's around us, then things may very well change, and there may be a certain amount of disruptions and social unrest and so on. I suggest that people store food, a certain amount of dry goods and so forth, and rice and whatever else, in the event that there's a run on the supermarkets or difficulties in distribution and so forth. So those are just sensible precautions. I've changed all my cars over to diesel because if there's an oil crisis, it's going to be hard to get gas. You know, diesel's a lot easier, and you could store diesel easily and legally. Whereas storing gas, it's very volatile, and you have to have certain tanks that meet the legislation and the requirements. And I don't know what they cost in the United States, but in Europe, the tanks can cost up to £7,000, which is like more than $10,000 for a tank.
Right.
And so we've done that. We've done simple things like get rid of the gas guzzlers, go over to small diesel cars. I bought a scooter, which, again, it is petrol-driven, but it does 100 miles to a gallon, so we can at least get to the shops. And then we've stored food, and we've taken a little bit of cash out of the bank. And I actually haven't got my 26 weeks worth of cash yet, but I'm going to get it. I've got maybe about 15 weeks, so I'm 11 weeks short. And we've bought gold, and we look to continuing. I don't believe that the world will end. I don't see any reason why it should. But what we may see is this rise of paranoia and this rise of fascism and these various laws that seem so strange. But we have to be brave, and we have to continue to operate and be with our family and our loved ones and do the things that we know that please us as much as we're able to, in spite of whatever is going on in the world, because it is fear-mongering. And that fear that's put into the global mind creates a lot of the things that the people are scared of.
And so if we do as you are suggesting, and we stay as close to the hope, what do we call it, that hope or aligning with the
I think if you align with that calmness, you know, if you're calm and you're centered and you do practical things, it's way, way better than bouncing off the wall or getting carried away with tsunamis and earthquakes and so forth and so on. I have seen visions of the San Francisco earthquake, but I was never given an exact date. So that's one thing I have seen. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow, and it doesn't affect all the people that aren't living in San Francisco. So I think we can move gracefully through no matter what, but it does require, I think, one to simplify and to get into control of the systems that you need to function with. So if you've got 3 cars, I'd get rid of the other 2 and keep 1. And if you could install solar panels on your roof to generate electricity, you know, these sort of practical, I wouldn't say survivalist skills, but things that are practical that allow you to function in the event of disruptions.
Well, actually, before we go more into some of the esoteric stuff, this is the beginning of the year, and some people aren't focused on 2012 as being disastrous or being a promise. Some people are just focused on living their day in and day out. And I know you have something for everybody. And in the case of some, at the beginning of the year, people do make New Year's resolutions, and some of their resolutions include losing weight or changing jobs or not being as angry. And I know that you have some tips along those lines, and I wonder if you could share some of them with us this
Well, I've
morning.
got a little weight loss tip, which is very impacting. You go to the supermarket and you lay 8 pounds of butter on your arm and hold your arm out straight and see how many seconds or minutes you could hold 8 pounds worth of butter on your arm. And then you work out how heavy it is, because it's really heavy. And then you realize how tired you become. And you realize how draining it is for your body to carry 8 pounds overweight. And then what you have to do is spend a moment visualizing, trying to pump blood through the 8 pounds of butter, and how much effort that must involve your heart with the effort of shoving blood through this 8 pounds of fat. And then you get in touch with how it's very important to try to maintain a normal weight. Now, I fast sometimes, but I'm not saying other people necessarily have to do that, but that's one way of getting rid of weight very, very quickly. And once you get in touch with like how debilitating the weight is and how tired it makes you by holding these 8 pounds of butter out on your arm, you realize, gosh, if you're 32 pounds overweight, you couldn't stand it for more than like seconds before your arm would fall. And then worrying about your heart or thinking about your heart, what a fantastic effort it's making trying to squirt blood through these 8 pounds of butter, it really gets you in touch with the need for a balanced diet and keeping yourself together on the weight scale of things. And a lot of people, it's really transformed them, the butter trick.
That is fascinating, actually.
Yeah, you just got to go do it once, and you'll be just shocked how heavy 8 pounds of butter is. And if you're 20 pounds overweight, then put 20 pounds of butter in your arm, but you've got to hold it out straight so you can see what the weight actually involves you in. And that is the weight that you're carrying around every day that your body has to manage with. And your little heart has to fire blood through this 20 pounds of lard, and it's really difficult. And it doesn't allow you to have the oxygen in your muscles, and it doesn't allow you to detox, and it doesn't allow you lots of things because of the weight of the fat that is being carried around that the heart has to work against. So it's sort of like the affirmation for the new year would be, I want to love my heart. And I'll show that love by giving it less to do.
I like that. For those of us who just enjoyed holidays and ate all kinds of sweets and all that, and now are looking at the new year saying, okay, this year is the year that I'm going to lose weight. Stuart Wilde is telling us that we can do it this way. If you miss that, you'll have to listen to the show again. You can do that by going to lifechangeswithfilippo.com or lifechangesnetwork.com, actually. However, you could also learn about this tip and a lot of other tips and a lot of other great information that Stuart Wilde has on his website and his blog, in his books, and on his DVDs and CDs. You can go to stuartwilde.com. That's Stuart Wilde, StuartWilde.com. And when we come back right after this message, we're going to talk about how we can develop our sixth sense, which seems like, based on what Stuart's been telling us, that we're going to need to use more and more, and what we could use that for. When we come back on Life Changes with Filippo, right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to six times better. Water from an Ion Ways ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. Ion Ways Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about Ion Ways Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, I am Filippo, and we're back on Life Changes with Filippo. And today our guest is Stuart Wild, who has written over 20 books on spirituality and personal development. He is considered by many the greatest living metaphysician in the world today. And so we have the pleasure of having him on our show. But not only that, our very first show of 2012, a year that holds promise for so many people. And in order for that promise to realize itself, what my understanding is that we need to develop our senses and align ourselves with more positive vibration, with more light. And Stuart was telling us at the beginning of the show that where there is more darkness, we have the ability to develop more light. And so that's one way, I suppose, to develop our light. We're going to ask Stuart Wild right now, what are other ways we can develop that light or develop our sixth sense?
Well, one of the things that I teach in my book is developing sensitivity. So a lot of that just comes from feelings or a heightened state of feeling. So you may not necessarily see great visions, but by asking your feelings, how does this feel, you start to get responses. And it's not just how does, let's say, some project or idea you have feel, but how does the bar feel? How does this cafeteria feel? How does this item of clothing feel? How does this space in the parking lot feel? And it's very much a matter of asking reality to feed back to you information about itself. So people have had the experience of being, let's say, in line at the supermarket, and suddenly they get creeped out by the person behind them. Well, that's their heightened sense of feeling, their sixth sense, telling them, oi, this guy behind you is really strange. Or this lady behind you is really strange. And so by continually asking yourself, how does this feel? How does this feel? You wind up in an extrasensory perception that gives you information. And everything has information, whether it's a hotel room or the street or a forest or a parking lot at the supermarket or whatever. Everything has some information embedded in it. And bit by bit, you can teach yourself to become more and more sensitive.
I could understand that at first that would be a little awkward, and I think that the information you would get, it would not necessarily, would it be maybe not correct, or would we maybe misinterpret it? I'm saying this because a lot of people say, oh, that just doesn't feel right to me, but they don't know what they're talking about. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I mean, it may not necessarily be completely accurate all the time, but when you get the answer, you can go back to the question of, well, how do I feel about this answer? So the main thing is you're trying to tell your feelings that you want the information. So whereas the sort of resonance may be slightly crackly and inhibited and a bit up and down and not necessarily always accurate, it's in the asking that you develop the power. The other way to develop the power that I taught and through my time as a teacher is to get people to meditate. Now, many people do, and so I suggest meditate for 24 minutes every day at the same time. Best would be when you get up and before you go to work or start your day. And in the quietness and in the solitude of meditation, you again begin to get in touch with that inner knowing, that ability to perceive and to look round corners, and it isn't that hard. And for me, what happened was, for years and years and years, I just looked at this darkness behind my eyes that you see when you close your eyes, but eventually the vision started to come. And I've had, like, I don't know, more than 100,000 visions in 10 years. And the visions have taught me about dimensions and the inner worlds and the beings. And they've taught me, like, massive amounts of information. And then I've had visions that are prophetic about what's going to happen in the world. Like last year, I predicted the fall of Gaddafi about a year before he died. And I predicted the fall of Mubarak in Egypt and Berlusconi in Italy. So they were three of my major hits last year, where I saw a vision of the people falling, and then I wrote about it, and it happened like a year or two later.
Mm. And are you saying that everybody can have those visions or by meditating?
The thing about it is that a lot of the visions are linked to DMT in the pineal, and a lot of people are very sparse or they're very depleted. And so I've been a great promoter of ayahuasca, the Brazilian sacred vine, and you could go over to South America and take it legally, or in Portugal or Holland. I don't think it's legal in the United States, but the more DMT you have in your pineal, the more you will vision, because that's where the visions come from. And so they call DMT the spirit molecule, because it allows people to access a greater variety of information. And I've promoted the ayahuasca all over the world over the last 10 years. It's not a drug. It's more like a supplement, and it's made from a vine called Manus and from some leaves called Viridis. And there's other ways of making it as well, but those are the two main ways that the shamans in South America use it. And it allows people to see when they can't see. It opens up the visionary door for them, and they suddenly begin to see the true nature of reality.
Interesting that I believe you're right, that it is illegal in the United States, and that's interesting that it should be illegal and perhaps unfortunate. But thank you for sharing that. Very few people know about that, and there's a mystery behind it for those that do. How did you come to know, learn or experience all of this or dive into it? I can't imagine you were born into it or that your family directed you in this way.
Well, my mother's brother was, she had an uncle. He was a spirit medium, and so he communicated, you know, with these other worlds, and he talked about the hierarchies and the angels and the spirits and so forth. And so my mother got me interested when I was a teenager, and she gave me a book called The Powers That Be. And I read The Powers That Be, and I don't know if it's been published still, but I got interested with this idea of, like, hey, you can develop your awareness and become more. And I did actually, for a very brief time, study as a spirit medium at the College of Psychic Studies in London. But I didn't really want to do mediumship and talk to sort of the dead and is anybody there and all that good stuff, because it was a bit too sort of Victorian for me. But it was those early introductions that my mother gave me that impelled me into this idea that, like, hey, we could become more. We could set ourselves free. And perception goes a long way to setting you free. And then the calm and the beauty of nature and the Tao allows us to link in to a force that's talking to us all the time. Everything emits an energy. Everything is talking all of the time. And, of course, some of the information is superfluous to your particular needs at that particular moment, but it doesn't mean the information isn't there. It is. And so we enter into a sort of very thrilling world, because I can see these worlds. Like 6 seconds after I close my eyes, I can see these inner worlds. I call them the Aluna mirror world. Aluna is a shaman word, which means of the moon. And it's a dimension, a mirror dimension that's opposite us. And it isn't out in space or on the surface of Mars. When you hold your hand out straight in front of you, the other dimension is between your elbow and your wrist. It's called sometimes spirit worlds, but that's like slightly dippy-doo-lally, because it's way technical, way more technical than just a world of spirits. It's a world of geometries, fractal geometries. So every single thing, like a leaf on a tree or a chicken or a doorknob, is actually a set of geometries, fractal geometries. And if the listeners are not familiar with fractals, then they can just Google it and look for an animated fractal, and you'll see how beautiful they are.
Well, this is beautiful, and it's so fitting that I'm actually out of town. I normally live in Los Angeles, California, and I'm out of town here in Las Vegas having this conversation with you, because when I first came to know you was in somewhere in Texas. I was in Dallas, and I got one of tapes in Dallas, and I had driven there, and I say that on my drive back to Los Angeles, California, I took the long way home just so that I could listen to your tapes over and over and over again. I didn't want to get home. I wanted to learn and grow with you. So here I am in Las Vegas learning and growing. And I was definitely ready for the information, and the information just was I was like a sponge, and it was coming through you and to me, and it was an amazing experience. Now, for those people who are just getting to know you and your work, where would you suggest they start? Which book, which audio?
Well, I wrote a book called Affirmations that really impacted people, and I wrote a book called Infinite Self, which everybody loves, and it talks about this idea of you being an infinite being, being so multidimensional, so much more than what we're normally taught. I mean, most of the teachings and so forth are very inhibiting because they want you to kind of stay and join the religion and be with the church or with the group. But we're multidimensional beings, and you can learn to see those worlds, and you can learn to be a part of them and have a completely different evolution. And so it impels you to want to go forward. I mean, I remember when I was a young boy in my 20s, I'd look around me and think, is this it? There's got to be something more than just this. Going around, I was on Carnaby Street in those days selling jeans, but I was sort of going around selling jeans. I was quite successful at it, but hey, what else is there? Friday night, you just go down the pub, get sloshed, recover by Monday, and go off and sell some more jeans. And I remember thinking, there has to be more. And the fact is that after all of this long journey, I can absolutely guarantee people that there's more. They've got to want to proceed, and they've got to have the courage to accept new ideas and to accept new perceptions, and sometimes accept things that are really strange. I mean, I've had some really, really strange experiences in my life. On one occasion, some pictures began forming on my skin, on my arms, and on my chest. And there were pictures of little animals and Christian crosses and Buddhas and the Mandelbrot set and various constellations. And there was a lion cub with a halo. And the pictures were just morphed out of my skin, and like they were written in brown crayon, or some of them were in gold, pure gold, like a line of gold on my skin. And they would tickle, and they'd appear for 10 or 15, 20 minutes, and then the picture would morph into something else. Well, I went through 10,000 pictures over a period of 5 months, just changing every few minutes for 5 whole months, night and day. So you could get frightened by that and think, my God, what is happening to me? There's a picture of a lion cub on my skin. Or you could just look at it and think, wow, this is really beautiful. We don't necessarily understand all of these dimensions or what functions they perform or why the pictures. I couldn't tell you now why the pictures were coming onto my skin. I've got no idea, Philippe, absolutely none. But there were thousands of them, thousands. And when they first started coming, you know, I'd have people sort of draw the pictures, and in the end, there were so many, nobody could keep up with the drawings. But what we found at that time was that people could stand across the room, and they could project a thought towards me when I had my shirt off. And so they would say, two circular balls with a triangle. And they would then go and say, like, we're going to put these thoughts on your left shoulder. And sure enough, within seconds, the picture that they were thinking formed on my shoulder. And so that indicated to us very, very clearly that you can create your reality with your mind. Okay, being able to draw two circles and a triangle on some bloke's skin isn't earth-shatteringly helpful, but it allows you to know that you can focus your mind into the future and allow those things that you want and need to come towards you.
I like that so much. This experience is reminding me of when I was studying voice, and my vocal coach was 85 years old, and he was such a wise man. And what I believe is missing in so many of our lives today is an elder or the elders who can tell us about things that we never thought of.
Exactly.
And here you are. Forgive me. You are certainly an elder to me, though I don't consider you in any way old. But I use that as a term of respect, and for someone who has lived many, not only many years, but many lifetimes, it seems, in the years that you have lived. So no wonder you're considered by many one of the greatest living metaphysicians in the world today, and happily still in the world with us today.
And it's very gracious of you to say so. I don't know about being the number one or not, but I certainly have gone into the theology that people understood, that came from the theosophists, about auras and dimensions and etheric fields, and I've tried in my life as best as possible to clarify or to extrapolate on things that were taught before. So I have written out a theology for people to comprehend, which in all fairness is more advanced than what was known in the past. And then there's so much out ahead that we don't know yet and we don't understand. It makes us very humble and small, because every day there's something out there that is just completely strange and yet utterly beautiful.
Stuart, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and we just have a few more minutes, then I have to take a quick break. But if you can hang with us another couple of minutes, I have a burning question that I'd like to ask you.
I'm right here, bro. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. This is such an exciting show for me. We are talking to Stuart Wilde, and you can learn more about him, and you can hear this show again at lifechangeswithfee.com or at lifechangesnetwork.com, or you can go directly to the source at stuartwilde.com. That's stuartwilde.com, where you could read his blog and about his visions, or you could read his books, and then you can get his DVDs and find out all kinds of things like I have from the man himself, who we'll get to talk to for just a couple more minutes right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars, guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and we are back with our guest today, Stuart Wilde. I have to say that I am tickled. For those of you who are listening to this on January 2nd, Happy New Year. And for those of you who are, you probably celebrated Christmas a week or so ago, many of you, who who celebrate. And to me, this is like my Christmas gift, to be able to have a conversation with Stuart Wilde, and even better, to share it with all of you. And I have a burning question for you, Stuart, and that is that since I mentioned my vocal coach, who was 85 years old before the break, and who I learned so much about life, not just voice, but I would say to him, I want to think like you do. I want to look at the world like you do. And he was saying, you're too young. During this time, you're supposed to think of the world as this way. And then when you're older, you can think of it like me. But I had to think of it like him soon after. And I wonder if it was too soon, because I have to tell you that I kind of think, like you were saying, is there more? I'm in this place that I'm wondering what to do with the fact that I see past the illusion.
Well, it's very important to hold the dream and to pray for more, because it's not greed, it's just knowing that you don't know. I mean, once you proceed a bit on the path spiritually, the first thing you discover is how little you actually know.
Right.
When people think they know, they obviously don't. But then, you know, you become wider and wider and more accepting. And a spirituality has a lot to do with going sideways so that your energy gets bigger and bigger. But, of course, to go sideways, you have to let go and allow rigidity to pass and to become more fluid and free and accepting. It doesn't matter if you hear stuff you don't agree with. At least ponder on it and contemplate it and then toss it out.
Well, it's interesting because I read on your blog on Christmas, you had written "Merry Christmas to everybody," and I thought that was great. And but during Christmas last year, I was seeing so many people, they're getting so wrapped up in this, and they don't even know what it's about, or it's silly, and in some of the things that we do, and it kind of lost something for me when you see that we're being made to spend, or being, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I mean, one does have to stay in control, because you know, there is going to be this fantastic financial mayhem. It's like a financial tsunami is coming with the difficulties in Europe, which will affect the United States, of course. So people have to be judicious, and they've got to decide what they can afford and what they can't afford, and they have to scale down, because half the time when you're scared is because you're out of control. You've got more debts and bills than you can cope with. So sometimes going smaller is the safe and calm way to be. Because let's face it, our ego drives us one on to buy more and to get the next iPad, iPod, this, that, and the other. And so people have to be careful of that and not go nuts and stay within what they can cope with, what they can keep within control, you know, control of the physical body, control of their emotions and their mind, finances, relationships as best as possible, and so forth.
Well, I'm likening this period to the time when I had to stop eating dairy because I couldn't breathe because I was allergic to casein. I'm likening it to that in the sense that what I started doing is because as a singer, you need that space in your head. You can't have it full of mucus in order to be able to sing. So I used to say to myself, I could sing better when I don't have mucus. Because my head, kind of like the butter situation, I feel better when I don't have 10 pounds of butter being held on my arm. So
Can I mention something that I saw? When I was just finishing up talking about the butter on your arm, uh-huh. I saw an open-eye vision of a blueberry. And, of course, blueberries are fantastic antioxidants, and they're very, very good for blood pressure. So I feel, having seen the vision while I was talking to you, I ought to at least mention it before we go off air at the top of the hour. Little blueberry appear in front of my eyes.
I take that as a good thing.
Mention the blueberries, you know, because I mean, blueberries in Europe are chronically expensive. I mean, I can't even tell you how much they cost. You need a mortgage. But in the United States, they're cheap and cheerful, so you can buy them at the supermarket.
Well, and where I was going with blueberries is a good place to go with that, but where I was going with that is that So I used to focus on I can breathe better if I don't have the dairy. And yes. So here you're asking us to consider scaling back, and yet instead of just focusing on, oh, we're going to have to do without certain, we can do with certain things. And that is peace of mind, or maybe we can start looking at relationships more and our families more. Right, Stuart?
Yes, you don't necessarily have to starve yourself, and you don't necessarily have to deny yourself. But mainly what it is the being out of control fight actually creates a lot of negative emotions that pushes abundance and jobs and opportunities away from you. So how you get the job is, you know how when you go for a job and you don't really want it, and you're like a student or something, and they offer you a job and you really don't want the job, and sure enough, you get offered all the jobs you don't want because they feel how secure you are. And some other poor schlep that's desperate for the job, that would love to have it, doesn't get it because they feel this emotional pushing. So you can't lean into reality for the things you want. You have to stand straight and allow reality to come to you.
Wow. Yep.
There you go.
I'm sorry?
No, that's it. I mean, that's a secret. You know, don't push, don't lead. I mean, if somebody's all over you like a hot rush and they're bugging you, calling 20 times a day, you kind of don't want to be in a relationship with them because you think, cracky, this guy's a jerk. Well, you know, I don't need it, you know? And if a person's a bit more aloof, or a girl is a bit aloof and sort of distant, you're absolutely desperate for them because they're sort of over there and you're over here. So it works in relationships as well. If you're not too familiar, then you're not too all over people, it creates a bit of mystery, and then they want you.
Well, there you go. We learned about 2012, and we learned about how to lose weight, and now we've learned about relationships. You are an endless source of wonderful information. Thank you for being Stuart Wild.
Thank you so much for having me on, Filippo. It's very kind of you. It's always good fun to be on these radio shows.
This has been such a great pleasure, and you have kicked off the new year for our show, and I'm sure for many people, but most importantly to me, for me. So thank you so much. I consider this a personal gift.
You're more than welcome, and I hope everybody has a spectacular 2012. And focus on the light, and just know that the more darkness there is, the brighter your light will come. I'd like to leave people with that thought. Your light will get brighter in and around this darkness that's outside of you. And you've got to believe.
Well, I feel like you have helped us believe, and that you have helped us focus more on the light today. And I know that it's a great way to kick off 2012. I hope to meet you in person soon.
Thank you very much. If I do a gig in Las Vegas, I'm sure I'll let the PR people know so you can come, Filippo.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. And a presto. Buon anno nuovo. Happy New Year.
Grazie. Mille grazie.
Ciao.
Okay, ciao.
Ciao. We've been talking to Stuart Wild. You can learn more about him, of course, by going to Life Changes with Filippo or LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also go directly to his website at StuartWild.com. That's StuartWilde.com. What a pleasure this is, and what a great way to kick off the new year. I, Filippo Voltaggio, along with our producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeune, wish you all a happy new year, and thank you for being part of this world, part of this show, part of our lives. Ciao, everyone. Happy New Year.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ionways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.